As protests against police brutality continue to rage across the United States, some of the world's biggest brands are trying to show their solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. And while the intent may be good, many people are calling out these companies for making generic statements that they say ring hollow. This week, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez condemned, quote, bland statements with a hashtag and called for companies to show a real commitment to change. And we asked you what you think about the recent corporate responses to the ongoing protests and racial injustice.
My name is Susan. I'm in Hammonton, New Jersey. I don't care about their empty platitudes. That's just public relations BS. I want to see a diverse workforce that reflects the population and opportunities for other people and genders. I'm tired of old white men in charge.
This is Danielle calling from Pensacola, Florida. My take on this is that companies should really make bigger changes to the work and attendance policies while the time is ripe, instead of just constantly saying they care, but they still just continue with like the major obstacles to worker happiness and insane productivity requirements, all while they're raking in billions of actual profit that does not trickle back down to people. And I think the extreme unrest that is ratcheting up is what it looks like when that system is not sustainable.
Hello, this is Trick Horn from Marietta, Ohio. I feel that actions speak louder than words. So much of the COVID-19 and anti-racism commercials are aimed at making you think that the company cares about what you and your group of people thinks. But often the message does not match the actual conditions that the company forces on their workers and customers.
So we decided to speak with Tiffany Hsu, an advertising and marketing reporter for the New York Times, and Angela Eikenberry, a public administration professor at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. And Tiffany gave me some examples of the type of brand statements she's seen in the past few days. And please note that this conversation contains a brand name that may offend listeners.
It seems like every brand wants to talk about this. You have Nike with an ad called For Once Don't Do It, where they're saying, don't pretend there's not a problem in America. You've got companies like Amazon and Nordstrom that are tweeting out Black Lives Matter. Citigroup put out a blog post where they repeated George Floyd's last words, I can't breathe, repeatedly. There are posts coming from Reebok, from Netflix, from Microsoft, from Disney. The list just goes on and on.
Now, Tiffany, what's interesting about this moment, and I used to cover this exact topic for the New York Times, and I remember trying to report on some of the thornier issues of race in advertising, a couple years ago, and not all brands were very eager to talk about those issues. What's changed? Why are they suddenly, these big brands, coming out and, doing this?
It's kind of a twofold thing. First, you have, generally speaking, brands becoming more comfortable talking about social issues. So a lot of people in the C-suite, executives, are hearing from consumers, especially younger ones, who are saying, look, we get that your product and your services are great, but we want to know what your values are. And so a lot of companies over the past 2 years, 3 years, are learning that differentiating based on what they believe in is a good way to set themselves apart from their competition. Now, in terms of this particular moment in time, you've got companies that want to be part of the conversation, and this unrest is the only thing anyone is talking about at the moment. And so if you're a company and you're not saying something, if you're not taking a stance on Black Lives Matter, you're going to get called out by even people who don't buy your products and your services. So it's almost as if companies have to say something at this point on this issue, right? If you're operating in the United States, you either have a lot of Black people on your staff, you're trying to target Black consumers, there's no way you can make the argument that this is not a topic that pertains to you.
Well, it's not, but I would argue that a lot of advertising is similar to media in that it too lacks a significant amount of representation of employees of color, particularly the higher up to the C-suite levels you go. So some of the criticism, and Angela, I'd like to bring you in here to talk a little bit about what some of the criticism is that we see of brands who do try to make an attempt at this type of advertising and marketing, because people would argue, you know, that it's somewhat hypocritical.
So, yeah, what we're seeing now is all these companies, as Tiffany talked about, kind of responding to this moment. And it's important that they're expressing their values. But I think there's a lot of people asking, and, you know, it was what's beyond that? What are they doing to actually address the issues? And that's where we can see that there's got to be more questioning about this in relation to the brands and how they're these companies are responding.
Tiffany, in terms of the content of some of these ads that we're seeing, I want to harken back, if you will, to a time that a small brand, Pepsi, for example, tried to do a Black Lives Matter ad with one of the Jenner daughters and found that it fell pretty flat.
Yeah, that is a moment that will go down in advertising history as something you should definitely avoid. And yet somehow brands continue to do the same thing. So you have brands like the Washington Redskins, for example. They participated in hashtag Blackout Tuesday yesterday, where brands and just really people on social media put up a black square on their social media accounts. Washington Redskins immediately was swarmed by commenters who took issues with the team's name, which many, many people believe is racist. And they were far from the only one. L'Oreal, they posted a post that said, "Speaking out is worth it." Immediately, Monroe Bergdorf, who's a transgender model in the UK who once had a contract with L'Oreal, sent out her own post. "You dropped me from a campaign in 2017 and threw me to the wolves for speaking out about racism and white supremacy with no duty of care, without a second thought." So you have a lot of companies that are trying to hop onto this bandwagon to demonstrate that they care about this issue, often with ads and posts that don't really say a lot, and they're getting called out for it. There's even a parody ad that's gone out since all of this began, and it says, "We at parentheses brand are committed to fighting injustice by posting images to Twitter that express our commitment to fighting injustice. To that end, we offer this solemn black on white JPEG that expresses vague solidarity with the black community, but will quietly elude the specifics of what is wrong, what needs to change, or in what ways we will do anything about it."
Angela, based on your expertise here, I'm wondering, is that really what this is all about? I mean, this is something called cause marketing, right? I'm wondering, when did companies decide that they wanted to get behind causes like this? And is the parody that Tiffany is pointing out, does that really reflect a lot of the hollowness or the shallowness that could come across in some of these ads? And is that a risk?
We've seen this movement growing in cause-related marketing, especially in the U.S. It started in 1983 with American Express wanting to raise funds to renovate the Statue of Liberty. But since then, it's grown to a $2.3 billion industry. And so you could see the allure of jumping into this. But it certainly can sound hollow, as Tiffany described. And there are other kind of issues to be concerned about, right? Like that it can even not only sound hollow, but even minimize the seriousness of the, you know, the issue that we're facing around racial injustice in this case, even obscuring the issues that corporations perhaps are participating in that could be causing the problems or being part of the problem to begin with, and even making us think, you know, perhaps these corporations are doing something we don't have to. So these are all problems that are sort of wrapped up in this cause-related marketing endeavor.
You know, some people, Angela, argue that not only are a lot of the companies that are creating these messages doing so without having the staff to reflect the diversity that the country reflects. A lot of people would say, you know, as we mentioned earlier, that C-suites are very white and continue to be. But there's also the question of what these companies actually do and whether or not they, you know, these are multi-million dollar corporations, and whether or not just by the fact that they exist, are they not contributing to the problem themselves if we're looking at what major corporations are doing?
Yeah, exactly. Like in many cases where, as you point out, you know, there are organizations or corporations doing things that are in direct contradiction to bringing about racial justice. But then they're also, you know, they are part of this larger system of capitalist system. Systemic racism is inherent to that system. So in a way, you know, there's only so much these corporations can probably do. They should do more, clearly, but there's also obviously got to be a movement beyond what they do to, in order to create the change that's being called for now.
Does any of this really matter at the end of the day, Angela? Is anyone actually going to support or not support a product or buy a product if they see this ad or don't see this ad?
Yeah, that's a great question. We don't know fully from the research, but we do have some research to suggest that in a way these kinds of messages are just reinforcing what people maybe already think about the corporation or the brand. But does it lead to people being active in other ways? For example, giving more or being more politically active? It's the data suggests, from what we know, that not necessarily. In fact, it may do the opposite in some ways, that people think, okay, I've supported this brand, so I'm supporting Black Lives Matter. It doesn't, you know, necessarily work out that people are doing more beyond that to create change as they hoped to see.
And Tiffany, in your talking to brands and advertisers, are they getting their war rooms, if you will, prepared to be able to turn these types of messages around rather quickly? Because I think that's also something to note, that these are campaigns that did not take months and months and months to approve. These are campaigns, ad campaigns, that are essentially responding to the news. So are you sensing more of a flexibility or a willingness to be nimble and quick from the advertisers that you've spoken to?
Broadly, yes, especially because so many of these ads are appearing on digital platforms as opposed to TV platforms. They can be pretty straightforward and simple, and they don't take long. And I think advertisers by this point have been trained to be ready for this sort of thing. And in fact, given that we're still in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of them had already come out with really of-the-moment ads. And of course, a lot of those ads were also parodied, also mocked as sounding all the same. But the fact of the matter is, advertisers have been trained to think, okay, we could come up against something that becomes a cultural moment at any time, and we need to be ready for it.
Well, with the quickness of these ads showing up on social media and online, it sounds like they're at least on the way to doing that. Tiffany Hsu is a reporter for The New York Times, focusing on advertising and marketing, and Angela Eikenberry is a public administration professor at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Thanks to you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.